Welcome to the P.T. Mata-Hari Department Stores second quarter and first half 2016 earnings call. For today's presentation, all lines will be in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. For your information, today's call is being recorded. Our call today will be hosted by our CEO, Mr. Michael Remsen, and our CFO, Mr. Richard Gibson. I will now turn the conference over to our first speaker, Mr. Michael Remsen, CEO.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our second quarter and first half 2016 earnings call. I would like to thank all of you for taking the time to be on our call today. As is customary, we will be recording this call and will post it to our website immediately afterwards. I am pleased to report that we have delivered another solid performance in the second quarter of 2016. Boosted by the seasonal shift in LeBaron sales to the second quarter, we saw our total sales grow 44.6% and our same-store sales growth increasing to 40%. Improvements in our direct purchase margins, along with continued success in our ongoing initiatives to manage expenses, resulted in our net income increasing by 97.4% over last year. I am also pleased to report that our real estate expansion remains on track, with four new stores opened prior to the LeBaron and a further two to four stores planned for the remainder of the year. Now I will turn it over to Richard, who will go into our results in more detail, after which we will open up the call for questions. Richard?
Thank you, Mike. Good afternoon, everyone. At 4:00 P.M. Jakarta time, we posted three announcements to IDX and also to our website: our first half 2016 unaudited financial statements, summary slides for our latest results, and also a brief press release. As in previous calls, we will talk through the earnings slides, which will take around 20 minutes, and then we'll have a Q&A session afterwards. If you have any questions after the call and once you have reviewed the detailed financial statements, please feel free to contact us on our investor relations email, ir@matahari.co.id. Referencing the summary slides that we posted to the website, let's start by turning to page four. Page four shows the highlights of the second quarter, which, as you can see, was primarily driven by the calendar shift of LeBaron. Our total gross sales increased by 44.6% over last year to 5,774 billion. We delivered a 40% comp store sales growth in the quarter. Merchandise gross margin improved to 36.4% of gross sales, up 20 basis points over last year. EBITDA increased by 81.4% over last year to 1,239 billion rupiah, up 440 basis points. Our net income increased by 97.4% to 913 billion rupiah. Page five shows the highlights of the first half. As you can see, our total gross sales increased by 31.4% over last year to 9,034 billion rupiah. We delivered a 27.1% comp store sales growth. Merchandise gross margin increased to 36.0% of gross sales, up 40 basis points over last year. EBITDA increased by 61.2% over last year to 1,626 billion rupiah, up 330 basis points over last year. Net income increased by 78.6% to 1,157 billion rupiah. Page seven outlines some of the recent macroeconomic data, as you can see in the graph. We have encouragingly seen an uptick in consumer confidence, improving in May and then again in June, rising to 113.7, which is actually the highest this year. Despite the LeBaron festivities, where prices of goods and services tend to appreciate, inflation remains fairly muted, only appreciating 12 basis points to 3.45% in June. GDP growth, however, remains low, with 4.92% reported for Q1. Our forecast for Q2 is that it will be slightly under 5% as well. Given that, we feel it's still too early at this point to forecast any material improvements in domestic consumption. We still remain optimistic for the second half, but again, we will really need to wait and see how the coming months play out. Page 8 shows our same-store sales growth by region. Again, predominantly driven by seasonality, we saw all regions delivering strong performances in Q2. Overall, Greater Jakarta had a 38% growth, Java, excluding Jakarta, a 43.1% growth, and outside of Java, a 38.6% growth. Kalimantan saw slight improvement, and Sumatra and Sulawesi continued to be strong, with 42.2% and 53.2% respectively. On Java, West and East Java remain the strongest, with West Java at 52.7%. When we look at the relative performance, taking out the effect of seasonality, Kalimantan remains weaker, although we think we'll be slightly positive for the year. Jakarta slightly underperformed, although narrowing the differential we saw in Q1. And Sumatra, Sulawesi, West and East Java outperformed again. If you look at page 9, as Mike mentioned, we successfully opened 4 new stores prior to LeBaron, 2 of which are in new cities, and we are still forecasting a total of 6 to 8 stores for the year. Based on our future pipeline, we are currently forecasting 6 to 8 stores again next year, 2 of which are already under construction. In terms of sales, private label is still performing stronger than CV, although the performance gap narrowed in Q2. Overall direct purchases represented 37.4% of our business in the second quarter of 2016, compared to 36.7% in the same period last year. Moving on to page 12, we have broken out our second quarter and first half results. The graph on page 12 shows us delivering a 44.6% sales growth in Q2 and 31.4% for the first half. Page 13 shows our comp store performance. As mentioned, given the calendar shift, we saw most of our LeBaron sales realized in June, resulting in the 40% same-store sales growth for Q2 and 27.1% for the first half. Given the seasonality, you should expect in Q3 a same-store sales decrease of around 18 to 20%. This would put us at around 7 to 8% year-to-date at the end of Q3. The favorable same-store sales growth performance in Q2 was driven by strong unit volume growth due to LeBaron of 29.4%, with an average unit retail increase of 8.2%. In the first half, the same-store sales growth of 27.1% was comprised of unit growth of 18.6% and an increase in average unit retail of 7.1%. The unit growth was driven both by transactions and basket size increases, weighted towards transactions due to the higher traffic, obviously, from the shift in LeBaron. Our overall LeBaron period, which includes the early part of July, came in just over 7%, slightly ahead of last year's performance. Given that, we are forecasting a same-store sales growth of 7 to 7.5% for the year. Again, it's important to remember we have a lot of sales ahead of us, so that could change depending on how we see consumer behavior playing out in the third and fourth quarters. Turning to page 14, you can see the increases achieved in our merchandise margin. Margins in CV were slightly lower due to LeBaron. However, on the DP side, we saw continued improvement, which meant overall we achieved a 20 basis points merchandise margin improvement in Q2 and 40 basis point improvement for the half. Overall, for 2016, we believe that we will see a slight uptick over 2015. With the sales shift, we of course achieved strong operating leverage. On a total company basis, expenses were 410 basis points lower than last year, with additional leverage on central costs. And on a stores-only comp basis, 330 basis points lower. As a point of interest, we now have 96 of our 146 stores equipped with LED lighting, and we remain on track to basically finishing the fits in the remaining stores by the end of the year. On page 16, we can see our EBITDA performance, up 81.4% in Q2 and 61.2% in the first half. This represents a 440 basis point and 330 basis point improvement in Q2 and first half EBITDA margins, respectively. Turning to page 17, our net income increased 97.4% to the $913 billion in Q2, and as I mentioned, on a year-to-date basis, our net income rose 78.6% to 1,157 billion rupiah, driven, of course, by seasonality, but also improved cash position, leading to lower interest expense. Turning to page 18, a strong focus on inventory management, aided by a stronger sales performance, led to a further reduction in inventory days from 118 at the end of Q1 on a last 12-month basis to 109 by the end of Q2. In terms of refurbishment, we plan to refurbish 15 stores in total this year. Three are already completed, and the balance of the refurbishments, which are mainly minor, will be carried out post-LeBaron in Q3 and Q4. Overall CapEx for 2016 is still forecast at between 400 and 450 billion rupiah, of which about 30 to 35% will be for new stores, 20% for refurbishments, 25% for IT, and the balance for other maintenance CapEx. The company's revolving facility balance was zero at the end of Q2, and our cash on hand was 1,803 billion rupiah. And also, as a point of interest, at the recent AGM, the 70% proposed dividend payout ratio was approved. Moving on to page 20. There's obviously been a lot of interest and discussion around our omni-channel strategy, so I wanted to spend a little time explaining our approach. You know, our belief is that we have great brands and great merchandise at amazing prices for our customers. So, if we put ourselves in the shoes of our customers, we want them to be able to access our products at their convenience, at any time, through any channel, and then fulfill those orders from the nearest store to their location. That means offering our products not only in our retail stores, which we will continue to aggressively expand, but also online through a marketplace model like Matahari Mall, our own website, and also in the future, perhaps most importantly, through our recently launched mobile app. We have made steady progress over the last few months, most of it not visible outside the company yet. As you know, we invested and have a presence on Matahari Mall. We have also been working diligently on improving our internal merchandise systems. And we also launched phase one of our mobile app, although we're not selling through that at the moment. Going forward, we will be testing a number of our enhancements and processes, and each quarter we will give you an update on our progress. So, turning to the table on page 22, I won't go through it in detail, but this summarizes our financial performance for the second quarter and the first half compared to the same period last year. So, in summary, you know, on page 23, you know, the seasonal shift, as we mentioned, in LeBaron increased Q2 total sales by 44.1% and delivered a same-store sales growth of 40%. Our merchandise margins continue to improve, driven by the strength of our direct purchase offering. Expenses remain controlled. Overall, Q2 EBITDA rose by 81.4% and net income by 97.4%. 2 to 4 additional stores are earmarked for completion in the second half. And as I mentioned, recent strategic initiatives continue to pave the way towards achieving our goal of becoming a true omnichannel retailer. Thank you very much for listening to us today. And now we will open it up to any questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the star key followed by the number 2. And we will take our first question from Francesca Witarja of Macquarie. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hello, Mike and Richard. Congratulations on the very strong results in the second quarter. I have 3 questions. On the LeBaron period, where do you see the most sales during the 44 days? Is it back-ended? Is it, you know, during the beginning of May? I'd just like to understand the trend that you're seeing. And the second question is, are you seeing much impact from government cash handouts to the lower-income segment in the outer Java areas? And finally, on the mobile app, is it linked to your own e-commerce site or also to mataharimall.com? Yeah, those are my questions.
Okay. So firstly, in terms of your first question, in terms of the sales during the 44 days of LeBaron, yes, it is back-ended. And typically, the sales will build as you move through that period. Sometimes, you know, in the last week, you know, it is sometimes a little difficult to plan, depending on how people are traveling outside of Jakarta and back to their villages across Indonesia. But it is fair to say that it typically builds leading up to the Eid al-Fitri holiday.
Okay. Any sense of sort of the percentages that happen, say, in the last 2 weeks of the 44-day period?
No, we're not able to provide that information. And like I say, it does vary a little bit from year to year. So, you know, we wouldn't want to mislead you because, like I said, it does depend on the pattern of people's movements as they go back home for the holidays.
Okay.
In terms of your second question, you know, we're really not impacted that we see in any material way by the government cash handout. You know, obviously, you know, we obviously have a strong performance in Java. We also have strong performance outside of Java. But, you know, as you mentioned, you know, this tends to be focused more on the lower income segment or the upper lower income segment. So we really don't see too much of an impact on that at all.
Okay.
As it relates to our mobile app, we've literally just launched it. So we'll keep you updated on the progress on that as we go forward. You know, we're starting off really with focusing on our loyalty card base. The app provides a lot of information in terms of points and rewards and things like that. It's not at the moment connected to online in terms of being able to purchase either through Matahari Mall you know, or any other place at the moment. So what we'll do, like I said, is each quarter, you know, we'll keep you updated on that. Our goal at the moment is just to obviously drive penetration and engage our customers.
Okay. And you'd be, you kind of mentioned that you'd be launching your own website. Is that sort of in the 2-year time frame, or is that earlier or something?
I think it's fair to say, I mean, obviously we have a website right now, but we're not selling on it. I think the focus for us, I mean, obviously the focus right now is obviously working with Matahari Mall as our partners to, again, put more products online, gain a better understanding of the behavior of our customers online. So that's our number one priority right now. When I talk about 2 years, I think we see that as the time frame when we will not only be offering it through Matahari Mall Marketplace, but also allowing customers to directly purchase through our mobile app as well. But the key for us, the key for us, we believe, which is obviously overcoming that last mile problem, is that we want to make sure that when the customers are ready to buy online, for example, through our mobile app, that we can make it as seamless as possible and that we can fulfill the product from our stores.
Okay. That's great. Thank you very much.
We will take our next question from Divya Gangahar of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you very much. Hi, Mike. Hi, Richard. Thanks for hosting the call. I have three questions. My first question is on the same-store sales growth. I think I caught the number as 7% is what you mentioned for LeBaron this year. So with that, I assume means the 44-day period. Could you also give me a sense on what was that number for last year? In one of your documents, you mentioned that there are three factors that really drove the sales growth: seasonality, demand uptick, and better merchandising. From your sense, how much of this 7% growth would you actually attribute to the demand uptick and better merchandising, which you think can actually probably sustain in the balance part of the year? And hence, on same-store sales growth, I know you've given a guidance for this year, but what would be your outlook for, say, 2017 as well? That can that be actually maintained, or is there some upside there that we can expect? So that's the first one on same-store sales growth.
That's your first question? I thought that was... Can I ask that one? Otherwise, I'll forget what you asked.
Okay, no. So firstly, just on LeBaron same-store sales growth, what was that number last year?
All right. Okay, just teasing. Very good to talk to you, Divya. So your first question on LeBaron. Our LeBaron sales in 2016, I actually said that they were over 7%, yeah? So we're actually closer to 7.5%. So what that meant is we're running about 1% over last year. As it relates to seasonality and our merchandise assortment and all the rest of it, I think that seasonality affected Q2, and obviously that's why you're seeing stronger sales in Q2. But as you look at the whole of LeBaron, there is no seasonality in that at all, and it's all driven by the merchandise assortment.
Got it.
That makes sense.
That makes sense. And just on the, there is some underlying demand optics. So I'm just thinking that when you look at, same-store sales growth beyond the festive period, would you tend to think that the consumer confidence and this demand optic means that same-store sales growth can inch back up towards the high single-digit levels? Or for 2017, would you be rather conservative and think that it will remain at these 7 to 8% levels?
I think that there are opportunities in 2016. As I mentioned, and obviously Mike and I have talked about it a lot. I mean, I think that we do remain optimistic about the second half, taking out the seasonality, of course. There's a number of initiatives that I'm sure you're aware of going on in Indonesia at the moment. So we think that the combination of those things and the current trend in consumer confidence could bode well for the second half. I mean, it's important to remember that around a quarter of our sales we do in the fourth quarter. So we still have a little way to go, but I think that you know, we are, I would say, optimistic on the outlook for the consumer in Indonesia, very definitely. And I think that hopefully we start seeing more of it in the second half. But if not, I think we would certainly still feel very positive about next year.
Okay, great. The second thing that I wanted to quickly touch on is the gross profit margin for the direct purchase products. Could you give me a sense on, is this just, again, scale-driven, or is there some sort of a mix impact?
Yeah, it's really a combination. I think that, you know, what we're really seeing is a continuation of what's driving direct purchase margins over the last year or two. You know, it really comes down to buying better and selling better, and I think that's really the answer. And as our merchandise assortments continue to improve, continue to improve through new merchandising initiatives such as American Jeans and things like that, you know, we're seeing very positive response from the customers.
Okay. And the last question was just on the consignment product growth. All these quarters, we've always seen it trail the DP growth by a very decent margin. This is one of the first quarters where we've seen it almost come close to what the DP sales have grown. Can you maybe shed some light on what's really driven that? Was there any specific initiatives taken there, or are you seeing any trends of people actually uptrading, considering the consignment products are actually more expensive, or any other color on why this growth has all of a sudden come back, which has languished in the past quarters?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the growth has narrowed, as you point out, in the second quarter. And we see that as very positive. If one's only looking at the company over the last few years and DP is continually outpacing CV, you wonder where it's all going to finish. But as I think we pointed out before, if you look at many years before that, consignment outperformed direct purchase for many, many years. So we think it's positive. We think that it's reflective of an improved merchandise assortment from our consignment vendors. And I think that also bodes well as we look forward.
Okay, perfect. Thanks so much, Richard.
Terrific.
We will take our next question from June Zhu of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, Maya. Hi, Richard. This is June. Hi.
Sorry,
I didn't really get your answer previously on the same store sales growth quite clearly. So if you don't mind, the questions may repeat it again. So you mentioned that the Lebaran, if we only look at Lebaran season, the 44-day shopping, you mentioned that last year, 2015, you achieved slightly over 7% growth. Is that correct? 7% seems off.
So basically, I guess the gist of what I'm saying is, you know, this year our LeBaron was 7.5%, and then last year was about 1% below that.
1% below that. Okay.
Roughly, yeah. Yeah, approximately.
Okay.
So I think that it's interesting, actually. So if you kind of take a step back, take out the seasonality, what we're seeing is an improvement in demand. Right. And, you know, I think that's also reflected in our higher transaction level, which suggests that we're getting more customers coming into our stores. So it's positive, but we just want to be cautious because,
yeah.
You know, I think that the economy is it's still got a little ways to go yet before we, see a significant uptick in domestic consumption.
Right. Okay. Is it true that actually for this year you are still maintaining the same store sales growth for full year guidance of 7-9%?
So at the end of the first quarter, what we said at the end of the first quarter is that in 2015 we had a 6.8% growth in same store sales growth, and this year we felt that we would do slightly better. And I know a number of you felt that we're being a little bit vague, but we wanted to put a little bit more clarity around that now that we have a lot more information available and we've gone through the LeBaron period. You know, we say that now we probably believe that, our sales for this year in terms of same-store sales growth probably 7 to 7.5%, possibly some upside from that based on how the consumer plays out in the second half.
Right. And so far in July, can you share some color on July in terms of the consumption trend?
Only to the extent that when I talk about Le Baron, that includes obviously the first week of July, because that was the last week of Le Baron.
Yeah. Okay. So, and you do mention that in third quarter, we probably will expect a negative 18 to negative 19% kind of same-store sales growth, correct?
Yeah, actually, I said somewhere around negative 18 to 20% in the third quarter. Again, because what you have to remember, actually, we won't see it next year, interestingly enough, quite so much. You know, obviously, it's purely driven by seasonality and shift
now
into June.
Because actually my actual question is really I want to know, like, apple to apple, if we're really stripping out all the impact of Le Baron, what would be the second quarter same store sales growth would be like? But now listening to what you said, like, you know, just Le Baron alone is 7 to 7.5%, and that compares to first quarter, I mean, the same store sales growth is 9%. So it seems like, you know, just comparing the, you know, the shopping festival, it's actually a tad lower than what we achieved in first quarter. So I guess does this, the performance, because we all know in advance that there will be 10 days earlier in second quarter, so I just wonder, this set of number, does it meet the management internally, your own target, your own expectations, or is it in line?
So in terms of our internal plans, we are very much on track.
Okay, and I think my last questions would be just on the your omni-channel. You know, I think find it very interesting that you having this merchandising system being commencement of additional merchandise system capabilities. Could you share a little bit more color on that? Do you mean by digitalize your inventory, or you are purchasing some new IT system or develop in-house for this merchandising system?
I mean, I don't want to go into too much detail at this point, but, you know, one of the things that we are doing is we're spending quite a bit of an effort upgrading our sort of internal planning and allocation modules, some of our reporting, internal reporting capabilities, but also we're giving a lot of thought to how a customer could order an item online and how that item could then be reserved real time in the store which is closest to their desired delivery point. Does that make sense? So,
yeah.
I mean, there's a majority of retailers can't do that. So we're just looking at ways in which we can make that hopefully as secure as possible, because ultimately what we want to do is we want our customer to have the same level of service if they're buying online than they enjoy today in our stores.
Right. For this omni-channel initiative, do we have a separate team where you are hiring new people to the team and develop all these omni-channel capabilities? I wonder, what's the investment?
It's obviously a multidisciplinary exercise, yeah? Obviously, different companies approach it in different ways. Typically, when they start off on the process, it does help to have some people who are dedicated specifically to that in terms of planning out the best approaches and carrying out tests, and that's the approach that we're taking.
I see. Oh, sorry. One last question is about the new store opening. You mentioned that still maintaining 6 to 8 stores this year. Next year, I probably missed it out. What would be the guidance for the new stores opening for next year? Would it still be
I think at this point, and it may well change. I suspect that if it changes, it probably improve. But I think at this point, 6 to 8 stores seems like a reasonable forecast. Obviously, as we've mentioned before, if we get the opportunity to go after more sites, then obviously we would definitely do that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
We will take our next question from Yanni Usman of Maybank. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, Mike and Richard. Thank you for having us today. I only have two questions. The first one is about the stake in MataHariMall.com. Is there any plan for LPPF to increase the stake in MataHariMall.com anytime soon? And the second question is about the membership program. May I know what is the number of participants at this moment? Thank you.
Okay, no problem. So in reverse order, so currently the membership of our loyalty program, the number of active members that we had at the end of the second quarter was 3.48 million. And as it relates to your first question with regards to MataHariMall.com, the answer to that is no. Currently, LPPF does not have any plan to make any further investment in MataHariMall.com. As you know, we have nearly a 10% stake at the moment.
Okay. Maybe one more question. I just wonder, because the gross profit margin for the direct purchase keep expanding, and even compared to last year, it expanded by 120 bps. I just wonder whether this is related to the cheaper raw material cost, or is there any reason maybe you get a better deal from the supplier? If you may share,
I think it's less about raw materials. It's less about raw materials, and it's better. It's more about buying in quantity, which gives you more leverage. And secondly, managing our inventory better enables us to sell better, which also reduces our markdowns. Which, as you know, we're very promotional.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
We will take our next question from Samuel Santanta of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, Mike and Richard. Congratulations for the super strong second quarter results, and thanks for hosting the call. It's Sam and Reggie here. Just one quick question from us. It's about your working capital. Seems that it continuously to improve. At what comfortable level are you guiding for the rest of 2016? Thank you.
Okay. Hi, guys. Thanks for dialing in. We feel very comfortable around 115 days. Yeah? So, and I think I may have mentioned that on the call last time. Obviously, for us, you know, as the more we bring our inventory days down, obviously that's very good from a working capital standpoint. But we also want to make sure that our inventory is fully represented in our stores, and that we have inventory at the right level of intensity in our stores as well to drive the best sales.
All right. Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
We will take our next question from Brian Uy of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi. If I got it correct, your pricing was increased about 7% year-on-year, which is a bit more on the high side compared to past quarters, and also definitely against inflation. So do you mind giving a bit more color in terms of what was driving the strong pricing for the quarter?
Yeah, sure. Actually, that's actually a very interesting question. As you know, when you look at the last few years, our average unit retail increases have been very, very benign, which also includes the first quarter as well. If you look at the second quarter, what you've seen, you see a slight uptick, as you mentioned, in the average unit retail. And interestingly enough, that's actually driven by our children's area. And it's actually a function of a merchandising strategy that we adopted, whereby in the children's area previously, we would sell tops and then we would sell bottoms separately. So one of the things that we've been doing this LeBaron is actually to merchandise the tops and the bottoms together and sell them as one unit. So that had the impact of driving up the average unit retail in those children's areas. And as you may know, during Le Baron is our strongest season for children. So we still believe our average unit retail price increases are very, very benign and still are lower than the rest of the retail landscape.
All right. Thanks a lot.
We will take our next question for Steve Yondunda of UOB. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi. Good afternoon. Congratulations on the result, by the way, Richard. A couple of questions from me. You have guided about 7 to 7.5 SSSG for 2016. While year to date, you see about 7% price increase. Is your guidance conservative in terms of volume? Because if we work out the math, volume is relatively flat, while year-to-date you have gotten an 18% increase in volume. Sure, we know about Le Baron, but if you look at it, your Le Baron SSSG actually goes up 100 basis points. So that's number one. Are you being conservative, or should we see upside from this one on your guidance? Second, with regards of the maybe the follow-up question to the first one is, what do you see post-Le Baron? The second aspect question would actually deals with the guidance of the new openings. I know you are looking for about 2 to 4 for completion this year and 6 to 8. By the way, how many are actually under construction right now? And third, although congratulations on your part, certainly can you elaborate a little bit about some changes in the company management? But of course, congratulations, and I think LPPF is in good hands. Thank you.
Thank you. So, firstly, your question on same-store sales growth. I think one of the things that we've learned over the last few years is that what we don't want to do is to overpromise and underdeliver. So I think that we feel comfortable with an outlook of 7 to 7.5% same store sales growth. But I think really what we just want to be a little bit cautious because we do have a lot of sales ahead of us. We are, as I said, cautiously optimistic. But I think at this point, that's what we feel would be the appropriate level of guidance to give you. As it relates to the balance of stores to open this year, they are all basically constructed or finishing construction. We want to be a little bit cautious because, as you know, when they're fourth quarter, there's always a tendency for slippage. As it relates to the 6 to 8 stores for next year, I think I mentioned on a little bit earlier, we have 2 that are currently under construction, and we see actually that as fairly positive because typically at this time of the year, when we're looking at the following year, we don't have any under construction. So I think that really just what we wanted to just kind of give you a level of comfort that the pace of our store openings as it relates to next year, will continue, despite, obviously some of the macroeconomic challenges that have been experienced. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, the first 2. Thank you.
We will take our next question.
The last question, I think.
You wanted to comment on the post-LeBaron performance. Yeah, I think. I mean, really, we're only talking about a week or two post-LeBaron, so we're really not able to comment on that at this point. But obviously, when we have our third quarter call, we'll certainly be able to give you much more color around that.
Okay. Final question is the recent changes in management.
Well, I think, you know, we have nothing to worry about. And I'd like to say on a personal note, I would like to thank everyone for all the kind wishes that I've received following my announcement to retire mid-year 2017. And most importantly, to thank all of you for support of Ramada Hari over the last several years. I'm very pleased that the Board of Commissioners has selected Richard to succeed me as CEO next month. We have been great partners over the years, and I'm confident that under his leadership, Ramada Hari will grow and strengthen its position as a leading department store or leading retailer in Indonesia. As you know, I will remain in Jakarta over the next 12 months to support Richard and the board and also to ensure that we have a very smooth transition.
Yeah, I mean, under Mike's leadership, you know, Ramada Hari has delivered a great performance, you know, record sales and earnings, record store growth, significant increases in market share. Really just to say, you know, thank you for the comments that people have given me. You know, my goal is just to build on that success and take Ramada Hari to the next level. You know, our overall strategy, you know, is not going to change. We're going to continue to provide great products at great prices, focus on the middle income segment, and continue to grow our sales and earnings. So we hope that you'll join us in that journey.
Thank you. Thank you, and congratulations.
Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Marianne Chin of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, Mike and Richard. I have a couple of questions. My first question is actually on your e-commerce venture. So we've seen a lot of interest and investments in this space. I just wanted to get a sense of what kind of CapEx you're thinking for this venture and what is being budgeted at the moment.
Okay. Basically, as you know, we've already made an investment in Ramada Hari Mall. Beyond that, though, we do not see any significant further CapEx investments that we need to make. As you know, we already have a world-class merchandising system. We have very good logistics systems. For us, it's really about organization. It's about enhancing some of our merchandising systems as opposed to making any wholesale changes to what we have. So, you know, we don't see any significant change in our level of CapEx that we're going to spend in the next few years. We will fund any investments we do need to make just from our, general maintenance CapEx.
Okay. And my next question is on can you give us an update on the price difference between consignment and private label goods, if that difference has been narrowing or widening recently?
Okay. I think that the quick answer is no real changes. Our average unit retails on direct purchase continue, you know, to be about half of consignment. So, like I said, really, really no changes. If you look at, you know, the first half, our average unit retail for direct purchase is about 75,000 rupiah. For consignment, it's about 150,000 odd. That remains fairly constant. I think both direct purchase and consignment, like I said earlier, I think the important thing is that by keeping the price increases benign, I think what that really means is that, you know, as we continue to move from quarter to quarter, I think our product becomes much more compelling in terms of the value proposition. I think probably we have never offered better value than we do today.
Okay. Can I just get a sense on what the average basket size is right now?
Sure. The average basket size right now is about 250,000 rupiah, because we do just over two units per transaction. Interestingly enough, that potentially is an opportunity down the road, actually. But there are metrics. We follow them very carefully because by drilling down into the components of the same store sales growth and transactions, etc., you can really get a feel for where the business is heading.
Okay. And my last question is on OPEX. So on a comp store basis, it fell about 330 basis points year on year. Would you say that this is mostly utility and maybe some marketing?
I think you'd be very careful on OPEX. Obviously, the leverage we get on mm-hmm. OPEX is primarily a function of our sales growth. So yeah. Our sales growth in the second quarter, obviously in the first half, very, very high. So, I think that, if you look at our overall company EBITDA margin for the year, the extent to which we can leverage or not leverage OPEX will really depend on how the overall same-store sales growth comes out.
Okay, yeah, sure. Understood. Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
We will take our next question from Pomada Darmano of HSBC. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, good afternoon, Mike and Richard. Again, many congratulations on both the performance and, of course, Mike on your next role and Richard on your new role. I have two questions, and I'll just ask them one by one, if that's okay. The first part is, can you provide us a little bit of color on what you did differently in merchandising this time during the Lebaran period? You mentioned about toys and children, top and bottom, sort of pairing that together, but can you give us some more color in terms of maybe which categories perform well, whether that's cosmetics, and how did men's apparels and ladies' apparels did, and any tweaks to your marketing strategy during the Lebaran period this time around?
Well, we had tremendous increases this time. Our biggest increases this time came in the men's and youth boy areas. And also, in addition to that, is children's. As we said, it really benefited us this time because children's is not only one of the highest categories for sales during LeBaron, but since LeBaron set on top of the holiday, which is the back-to-school period, it really pushed it up. So children's had an incredible increase for that time period. Women's apparel hung in there, and so we had a great performance there too. So really none of our areas were out of whack as far as businesses.
Great. The second question I have is, you mentioned several times about operating leverage. Would it be fair to say that we shouldn't underestimate the probability of negative operating leverage in the third quarter?
Oh, yes. I mean, you are, like I mentioned, I gave you guidance on the same store sales decline in the third quarter, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that when you look at modeling and when you look at our results, I think you need to look at the full year. I think if you look at the full year, as it relates to last year, we've given you guidance on sales growth. We have given you an indication that we do feel that there's potentially going to be an uptick in the gross margin, a little uptick for 2016 over 2015. With OPEX, it's tricky. We have previously said that, generally speaking, our OPEX as a whole goes up high single digits. The extent to which we leverage or don't leverage OPEX will really depend on how that final comp store sales figure comes out. That having been said, when you get down to the earnings level, obviously you can see that we have had some tailwinds here, of course, because the way in which we've managed the balance sheet and our cash means that obviously we will have a much lower interest expense than we did last year. So one would expect earnings to grow at a faster rate than EBITDA.
Got it. And my third and last question, I know you mentioned that given that you, Richard, have t- taken over from Mike. So in essence, we are having some sense of continuity in management, and therefore we shouldn't expect a dramatic change in strategy. But will you be announcing any sort of strategy day once you know you've assumed the role, and to provide some evolutions or tweaks here and there for Matahari going forward? Should we expect that?
I think, like I said earlier, I think the key message is that our overall strategy is not going to change. We're very fortunate in that we target that middle income segment. That has worked very, very well for us, and we believe that will continue to serve us well over the coming years. As you know, the middle income segment is forecast to be the fastest growing segment, and clearly it's the largest segment. So, there's not going to be any change there. And, of course, no change in our product strategy. We stand for affordable fashion. We've developed a trust with the Indonesian people, and we're going to continue to do that. I mean, as long as we can continue to execute well and continue to pursue our growth strategy. Don't forget that, if the infrastructure was there, as we've said before, we should have over 400 stores. So, we just want to continue doing all the things that we've been doing and do them to the best of our ability. There is an added component that comes into play as e-commerce develops in Indonesia. And like I said, I think that, we have terrific product. We have great private label, great brands. And, we should be able to offer those to our customers through any channel. So, as our customers evolve in the way they shop, we want to be able to do the same thing to evolve with them.
Thank you very much for that. I wish you the best for third quarter and fourth quarter. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from Francisca Widaja of Macquarie. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi. Just a follow-up question. On the merchandising efforts, you've mentioned in the press release that there are improvements in merchandise offerings. Just wondering what that referred to, and also if you could repeat the volume and retail growth for the second quarter, please. Thank you.
Well, in merchandise offerings, we continue to fine-tune the assortment. I think we've talked to you about the Gap brands we're putting in. And the American Jeans program, which is a middle-priced brand for us, has exploded. It's one of the reasons that the youth boy area had such a tremendous increase for LeBaron. So we are rolling that out in a much more dense inventory position in the second quarter, and we will continue with that. So that's a great example of what we're doing. We're also developing some other programs along with that in some other areas that will do the same thing in those areas. So.
And related to your second question, the breakdown of the same-store sales growth in the second quarter, our same-store sales growth was 40%, and the increase in average unit retail was 8.2%. And the increase in the unit comp was 29.4%.
Okay. All right. Right. So I thought that just on the first question, American Jeans, I thought that was present quite a while back, or has it been sort of expanded range, or is it a different brand?
Considerable expanded range, and the advantage of the American Jeans program, not only is it a higher priced item than our normal Nevada jeans, it drives your average unit retail up, because the more jeans you can sell as opposed to t-shirts, it's like a 3-to-1 trade. So we continue to fine tune. We find a better way to do it, how to add items to the collection, how to focus it, how to bring better details to it, to give that extra value to the customer and the extra fashion that goes along with it. We'll continue to do that, as we go forward.
Okay. Did you just now mention another brand, or was it just American Jeans?
American Jeans is the big one right now, but we're also bringing some additional touches to some of our old other brands, such as existing brands, such as Kohl. So, you know, there's not a need to all the time put in another brand. Sometimes it's a matter of upgrading some of the brands you have and adding just one more layer of pricing in the brands that we have. So we have a number of things going like that. If we feel at some point where we're going to hit a critical mass where it makes sense to put another brand label in, we will do that. But right now we're very cautious about just throwing brands in without a correct brand image, a very clear set of statistics on who we're trying to target with it, and the return on assets.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Terrific. I think we probably only have time for one more question.
We will take our final question from Matthew Wibowo of CHSA. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, Mike and Richard. Thank you for the call. Just a quick question from me. I see Matahari right now has quite a bit of cash on hand, 1.8 trillion, even after paying 1.2, 1.3 dividend. And I guess it's going to be building up still going forward. So my question is, what's the plan with the cash going forward? Are we expecting another round of dividends, or for the time being it's just being in the deposit? Thanks.
Yeah, so I think your question was what will we do with the cash we have on hand?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
So firstly, you know, obviously one of the things that you have to remember is that, you know, the timing here. So we're reporting the period at the end of the second quarter, which is at the end of June, right? So we do have in there a lot of sales that we've generated. And, you know, we also, as you will see, if you look at the financial statements, you'll see a higher proportion of accounts payable that relate to our consignment vendors for their sales in June, yeah? So those payments, as per our normal terms, typically we pay what we owe the consignment vendors on the 15th of the month following the month in which the sales take place. So you have to be a little careful on seasonality when you look at the cash we have on hand. That said, obviously we did come through the season with a strong cash position. As I mentioned, we didn't have any borrowings on our revolver at the end of the quarter. I think generally speaking, you know, as we said before, I think, you know, the number one use of our cash is to open new stores. So we always want to make sure we have enough cash on hand to manage the daily business and the working capital needs. We need to have enough cash on hand to take advantage of store opportunities as they come up. Beyond that, I think, as you can see from the recent increases that we've had in our dividend policy, beyond that, you know, we see ourselves, you know, continuing to pay a high level of dividend.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
My pleasure. So I think that concludes the call for today. Is Alex, our moderator, still on the line?
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That concludes our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.